I would like to read, first of all, from the Acts of the Apostles, and chapter 27, and verse 20. In this Bible, it's in page 1344. Acts 27, and verse 20. And neither sun nor stars, appearing for many days, and no small storm lying on us. In the end, all hope of our being saved was taken away. And when they had been a long while without taking food, Paul then, standing up in the midst of them, says, Ye ought, O men, to have hearkened to me, and not have made sail from Crete, and have gained this disaster and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good courage, for there shall be no loss at all of life of any of you, only of the ship. For an angel of the God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted to thee all those that sail with thee. Wherefore be of good courage, men, for I believe God, that thus it shall be as it has been said to me. And then in second epistle to the Thessalonians, and chapter 2 and verse 16. In this Bible, it's on page 1432. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. For our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us, and given us eternal consolation and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. I was at a Bible reading about a week ago, and this passage was read in Thessalonians. And I decided to look up this expression, good hope, because there's a cape in Africa, near the south of Africa, called the Cape of Good Hope. I wondered why it was called that, and I found out that it got that name because people from Europe who sailed down the west coast of Africa were looking forward to getting to the Far East, to India and places like that, so that they could profit by all the wealth that they would find there. But I also found in looking into it that the Cape of Good Hope used to be called Cape of Storms. And I was thinking there's a message in the gospel out of this. So let's think about standing on a headland and you recognize it's called Cape of Storms and you think about the violent storms that come there and you think too about the many people who have drowned and ships that have been shipwrecked off the rocks there and what a transformation it would be to know good hope and what's good and great blessings that are connected with the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I desire to speak of him this evening. Now, this was a very serious situation that existed in Acts 27. There was a ship going to Italy, and there was a lot of people in it, 276 of them. It carried a cargo of grain to bring food to Italy. It also carried some soldiers and several prisoners, including the Apostle Paul, who was on his way to appear before Caesar and be tried in front of the Roman court. Well, it ran into a storm. People didn't heed the word of Paul, and it ran into a very serious storm. It's described in this chapter, hurricane. It also speaks about the storm being extremely violent on us. And here in this verse we started with, no storm are lying on us. And, of course, those who were navigating the ship did all they could to try and protect the people on board, to try and save the ship. And they took all kinds of measures to try and do that, eventually throwing out most of the cargo, the grain that was being taken over to Italy. Then they were throwing out the ship's furniture. They're trying to use anchors and so on to try and stabilize situation. But the outlook was very, very bleak. It looked as if the ship would be wrecked. It looked as if they all would lose their lives. But in the midst of the storm, Paul stands up. And I want to speak about him. I want to speak about things he said. So here was a situation of no hope. And Paul stands up and he says some things about himself. He speaks here and saying that about God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul belonged to God. In a sense, everyone belongs to God. For in him we live and move and have our being. But Paul also belonged to God in another way, because he had been redeemed to God by the precious blood of Jesus. Paul once hated Christ. He tried to stamp out every vestige of Christianity. But God spoke to him. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, and his life was transformed, just as your life can be transformed, and my life can be transformed if we become genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That requires, of course, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul says here that God, whose I am, he had been taken possession of by Jesus Christ. I don't know if everybody on this today knows about Christ, but he was a wonderful person. He came into this world to save sinners. He who himself is God, was God, ever will be God. Yet he became a man in order to work out God's great plan of salvation. And we thank God that he came, and we thank God for his wonderful life, a life of perfection, a life of devotion to the will of God, a life of serving others, a life of honouring God every step that he took. But we think of when he went on to the cross. We think of the storm that came upon him. Some was saying, the storm that burst o'er thy blessed head is hushed forever now. I think about Jesus in his life of perfection, but going on to the cross and suffering there, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He says somewhere, all thy waves on thy billows have gone over me. Think of all that came upon Christ in that time on the cross, when him who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Well, here was Paul. He knew what it was to belong to God. He also knew what it was to serve God. And he had served God. From the moment of his conversion, he sought to serve the Saviour. He speaks about the grace of God that was towards him that had not been in vain. He'd laboured more abundantly than others. He'd laboured to bring the message of the glad tidings throughout the Roman Empire, as he was directed by God himself to do. He brought the message about Jesus and the way he fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies and the way that he had lived here and died here, and that he had risen again from among the dead, and that he had gone up above all the heavens to fill all things. Paul had brought the message of the gospel to people, and there were people in different places throughout the Roman Empire, including Thessalonica that we've read about, who accepted that message, and people are still accepting the message today. Wonderful to know the Saviour for ourselves. So, he says, whom I am and whom I serve. Paul also served God's people. He served them by building them up, seeking to establish them in the truth of Christianity, and also seeking to encourage them to go on with the Lord and telling them about the wonderful thoughts of God that centered in Jesus and the great plan of salvation and the way that God would deliver people from the authority of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And he sought to establish God's people because he loved God's people as well. So what a service Paul had. In fact, how much we benefit from these lovely letters that we have in the New Testament of the Apostle Paul to individuals and to companies of believers to encourage them and strengthen them to go on with the Lord. So he says here, you ought, O men, to have hearkened to me and not made sail from Crete. Great blessing in hearkening to the message of God through the Apostle Paul when he announced the importance of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that we might have forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That's for inheritance among the sanctified is far, far better than all the treasure that these people hope to get by sailing round the Cape of Good Hope. But here we are, Paul's in the middle of this ship, and he's speaking to people about himself and his personal link with Jesus. Has everyone here got a personal link with Jesus? He's a wonderful person to get to know. And how essential it is that everyone have their own personal links with the Lord Jesus Christ. I commend him to you. There's no one else like him in the universe. You can't see him now. You can't walk along the street where you live and find Jesus. He's now in glory. But he's been here. And he lived here. And he died here. And he rose again. And he's a wonderful living Saviour with the power of God in his hands. All power has been given him in heaven and upon earth. Power to spread the gospel. Power to deliver us from darkness. Power to deliver us from things in our lives. I wonder if anybody here is going through a storm and you don't see any way out. In a sense, society is going through a storm just now with all this lockdown and all the problems there are. It's like a storm. And many people can't see a way out. No hope. It says no hope here. A whole hope of our being saved was taken away. But thank God, there's Christ Jesus, who's our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, we can trust in him and have peace towards God now, our sins settled and settled forever, and have a wonderful hope for the future. So, I think it's very important that each one of us have our personal relations with God. I think for most people in life, there are storms that brew up from time to time. I can think of storms in my life. I can think of times when I've cried out to God in distress and when I've proved the help that came from God. And it's an important thing that each one of us have a personal relationship with God. If we've been brought up in a Christian home, we can value what we learn and things we were taught, but there's no substitute in having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks here about a message that he got from God. And I think one of the things that marks a believer is that he or she calls on the name of the Lord. That's the evidence of one of the evidences of a Christian, that he calls on the name of the Lord. Call ye upon me while he's near. Great thing to call upon God when he's near. He's come near to us in Jesus. The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. The word of faith that we preach. God has come near to us in Jesus. Call upon him, sinner. Call upon him, fearful saint. The message that Paul got from God was fear not. Fear not. And he passes on that message to others. It's a great thing to be in contact with Jesus. There's nothing airy-fairy about it. There's nothing unique to Paul about it. Paul had things that were unique. I was speaking to a sister in a care home the other day. She's in a Christian care home. There's music in the background. I said, what are they singing? And he walks with me, and he talks with me. Great thing to have a relationship with Jesus like that. Have you got that? Some will sometimes sing, take thou my hand, Lord Jesus. Thou knowest best. We need each one of us to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way from getting our eye off the storms all around us and turning our eyes on Jesus and finding that we can have a rock for salvation and a hope for all eternity. And that's why I read this scripture about good hope. There's a cape of good hope with people hoping to get past it and get to better things. But Christians have got a hope. And the hope doesn't rely on the politicians, and it doesn't rely on the coronavirus getting sorted out. It doesn't rely on whether you've got good health. It doesn't rely on whether you've got a good job or a bad job or no job. It relies upon a living man who's been here and walked here and who now lives in the glory and who's coming again. In fact, there's another scripture that speaks about Christ Jesus, our hope. Our Christian hope is linked up with a living, glorious person who's now seated at the right hand of God. And so the apostle, when he was writing to Christians in Thessalonica, who were going through rough times, they were going through times of tribulation. If you read Acts 17, you'll find that a mob attacked people when Paul was there in that very town, and they had to look after him, and he had to escape for his life. And it's clear that the Christians there were being attacked, even when Paul was there. And obviously, from the two letters that Paul wrote to those who lived at Thessalonica, that they were still undergoing tribulation. They were still undergoing threatenings. They were still undergoing attacks from those that were without. But he speaks in it about our Lord Jesus Christ, himself, and our God and Father who loved us, given us eternal consolation and good hope by grace. Through grace, we are begotten again to our living hope that doesn't centre in the passing things of this life, but centre in the man and the glory, and we can look forward to being with him and like him forever. Other scriptures speak about the hope in other ways. Hebrews speaks about a better hope, a better hope. The Jews had hopes, and their initial hope was to get to the promised land, and God brought them to the promised land. But the Apostle Paul tells, or whoever wrote the Hebrews, tells them about having a better hope. I know people who talk about their bucket list, the things they want to do before they die, and their aspirations. But you know, Christians get something far, far better than any earthly bucket list, any desires we might have, any ambitions to go there or see this and that or do this and that. But you know, Christians get something far, far better. And it centres in Christ and the wonderful blessings that emanate from him that we can enjoy now, and we will enjoy in a fuller way when the Lord Jesus comes and takes those who love him to be with himself forever. Great thing to have a hope, a blessed hope that's connected with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I commend them to you. It speaks in Hebrews 2 about the Lord Jesus being the anchor for our souls, the hope being an anchor for our souls. We all need an anchor. In this unsettled world, in this unstable world, we need an anchor for the soul. And we can have that through an attachment to the man in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. May every one of us who are on this preaching tonight have this link with the Lord Jesus. And may we find him to be a wonderful all-the-way-home Saviour until the time when we'll see him in glory. The Christian hope, I think, is made up of two things. One is to see the Lord and to be with him and to have bodies of glory, like to his own body of glory, and to enjoy his company and to enjoy the Father's love in the Father's house forever and ever. But it's also connect another thing connect with the hope. We boast in hope of the glory of God. In this world today, it's made up of man's glory. What empty glory is. But there's a day coming when the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the Lord Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all who belong to him will have part with him when he comes to reign. When Christ is manifested, who is our life, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory. What a prospect Christians have. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with him? If not, now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Put your trust in Christ before the day of grace ends. Don't risk the peril of lost eternity. Come to Christ now and know him as your own personal Saviour. May God bless everyone for his name's sake.